The neighborhood would all gather, and they would, this is kind of a tradition, it'd become a yearly thing, and it's kind of the mark for the families that Christmas is here. And so they'd gather for the manger scene, they'd sing some carols together, there would be a reading of the Christmas story from Scripture, but then the highlight of the evening was there would come that moment, and everybody knew it was coming, it had become kind of an emotional thing, but at this one point there would be a silence. And then someone would come walking into the manger picture with baby Jesus and lay baby Jesus in the manger. And that was the sign. The gift of God had arrived. The Savior was born. And over the years, that had become just a really a precious time for them as a church. But now we're a day after Christmas. All the activities are over. And the pastor of the church that morning had headed out, and he's kind of checking over the grounds. This is kind of a normal thing. He would look for any trash that maybe had been left behind and pick it up. He would look for article clothing. There's always a mitten or a stocking cap or a scarf, and he would gather them up, try to get them back to the rightful owner if possible. But over the years, they had come up with a pretty good collection because he couldn't always find the owner. And as he's walking around looking at things, all of a sudden, something just doesn't feel right. And he's trying to figure out what's going on here. And his attention got drawn towards the manger scene. And as he walked over closer to the manger scene, all of a sudden he realized what was wrong. Baby Jesus was missing. Baby Jesus was gone. Somebody had stolen baby Jesus over the Christmas time. And so he's trying to figure out what on earth could have happened. He pulls his phone out. He's going to call the local neighborhood police, but then he thinks, well, before I do that, I probably ought to at least look around. It could be just a prankster that's, you know, maybe I'll find baby Jesus behind a bush or up in the tree or who knows what happened. So he's looking around the church grounds and he's walking the sidewalk around the area and he makes a corner and he looks down the sidewalk and he sees down on the sidewalk is a little boy pulling a little red wagon. And as he catches up with the boy, he notices there's something in the wagon, and sure enough, he finally catches up, and there's baby Jesus in the little red wagon, which he thought, there's got to be a story behind this. And so he walks up to the little boy, says, "Hello, son." He said, "That's a really nice-looking red wagon you have there." And he says, "Yes, sir, I got it for Christmas. It's my favorite present." And he said, it's just what I asked for. And he said, well, that's wonderful, the pastor said. I noticed you're taking a ride in your wagon. He said, oh, yes, sir, I got him from the church. And he said, oh, is that right? Can I ask why you took the baby from the church? And he says, oh, yes, sir. He said, you see, I asked my mommy and daddy for a red wagon, and I really wanted to get it, but I was afraid they were going to forget. So I prayed to Jesus, and I said, Jesus, help mommy and daddy remember the wagon, and if they remember, I will take you for a ride in my little red wagon. And daddy said I should always keep my promises, so that's why baby Jesus is going for a ride. So there you have it, the case of the missing story, missing Jesus. What I want to make sure of this morning as we move into this week and look forward to the celebration is that we don't miss the Christmas, miss the main reason for this time. If you were here last week, we talked about something maybe you never heard of before. In fact, Dale and I were talking ahead of time. Dale does our drawings to kind of symbolize where we're going, and he almost, his wife talked him out of it. He almost put a dragon in the manger scene picture, because if you were here last week, we read in Scripture that there was a dragon involved in the first Christmas. In fact, Christoph talked a little bit about him in the class between church today. A dragon who, if he had had his way, would have made sure that Christmas never happened, that baby Jesus would have been missing permanently. But he failed. But that doesn't mean that a lot of people still don't miss Jesus, miss the baby, miss the significance of the Christmas story, the Christmas season, the importance of what was happening that very first Christmas, that child that was born. which was to be the Savior of the world. In fact, in the middle of the first Christmas story, the one that we looked a little bit at last week, there were a number of individuals who missed the story, missed the baby. And what I would like to do this morning, in the time remaining, is look at them and see if we can't nail down a little bit of why it is they missed it in the middle of all that was going on, why they missed Jesus, and what we might learn. Maybe we can learn from their mistake and not fall into the same one. And so we're going to do that this morning, and I want to start out in Luke chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles or your devices and you want to get there, I also will put it up on the slides. But Luke chapter 2, and one of the individuals who has been a part of the story as long as it's been told in Luke chapter 2 is one of the individuals who missed it, is the innkeeper. So, and by the way, just an interesting, in my file cabinet in my office, I have a number of file folders, have some old messages and things like that, but there's one file folder that's illustrations. All it is as I've read stories, things I grab onto, and I just think, well, someday I may use this. And one of those file folders says Christmas, and so in it are just things over the years I've read something. I thought, oh, I need to keep that. I might use that someday, and I was looking through that file last week, and I ran across an article that I cut out of the Baltimore Sun over 30 years ago. It was written by baseball player Pat Kelly, who played for the end of the 70s and into the early 80s. And he was talking about reasons people miss Christmas. And I thought, all right, we're going to talk about that this morning. So the first person I want us to look at in Luke chapter 2 is the innkeeper. And we read in Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 5, he, talking about Joseph, went there. Remember, we talked about the census last week, that Joseph had to go to Bethlehem to register for the census, and we talked about possibly what the dragon had to do with all of that. So he went to Bethlehem to register for the census, and he was there to register with Mary, who was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Was there a particular innkeeper? I mean, we've heard the story for over the years, but was there an individual at the front desk saying, "Can't you read? It said no vacancy. Why are you even asking?" We don't know that, and we don't know if that was the case. We're not furnished those details, but someone gave Joseph and his very pregnant wife the word, "Sorry, we're out of rooms. We have no place for you to stay." You know, think of scenarios. Perhaps if they were very wealthy, some arrangements would have been made. You know, offer enough money, we'll figure something out. Or maybe if it hadn't been so hectic. Remember, this census was thrown on everybody, and here suddenly this little town, which Bethlehem is a really dinky little town, all of a sudden you have an influx of people whose family history goes back to this town, and they're all in town, and so things are so busy. There's extra sheets to be washed. There's extra food to be made. There's all these things going on. And so in the middle of this, maybe if it hadn't been just so busy and so hectic, maybe someone would have said, well, we gotta do something. Look at her. She's close to giving birth. We need to find her a decent room to stay in. One thing's for certain, whoever delivered the message, no room, had they realized what was about to happen, more than likely things would have turned out differently. Caused me to ask the question, what are the things in my life, and maybe particularly during this season, but all year long, but what are the things in my life that I get so wrapped up in that they cause me to miss the significant for what's insignificant? And maybe this time of year is especially tough to keep that from happening. We get so consumed, so busy with so many things that fit into our schedule, fill up our time, and And in the reality of it, as we're involved in all those things, if we were to really stop and think about it and weigh over the weight of what this really matters compared to what I say really matters in my life, perhaps a lot of things would be done differently. Things that we put time and effort and blood, sweat, and tears into, as that if we just took a few moments to think about it, maybe they don't matter that much. Maybe a little less time would be really a little more valuable. I'm not going to fill the blank in for you. I can do that for myself, but think for yourselves. What are the things that right now, maybe this past week, maybe the days coming up, that you've already filled into your schedule? Things that you're going to spend hours doing, wearing yourself out possibly. And ask the question, am I missing something more important for these details? Those things that we get our hopes and dreams wrapped up in, only to recognize such little results as a result of all the time we put in, that they didn't make that big of a difference, and yet I put so much energy and time into them. Things that we sometimes think we're doing for everyone else, but in the middle of it, if we thought about it, we're sacrificing the relationships instead of the time with the people. We're filling it with other things. I'm not saying that none of those things are important. They are. What I'm saying is we want to make sure in the middle of it, in the middle of all the details and all the activities and all the celebrations, that we don't miss it. That we don't miss the baby. That we don't miss the reason. Innkeeper, or whoever it was, missed it. Missed what was right in front of him because of all the other stuff that was going on. Another individual that missed it, we talked a little bit about him last week, King Herod. Said in Matthew chapter 2, it says, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. You remember what was going on there. The Magi came into town, and they're saying, wait, where's this king that was to be born? And King Herod heard this, and all of a sudden, this was really disturbing to him. King Herod wasn't interested in the baby. He missed the baby as well. We looked at him some last week, but let me zero into some things we didn't talk about. Why did King Herod miss the baby? He didn't miss it because of what he was doing. He didn't miss it because he was caught up in so many other things that he just hadn't have time to pause and think about it, that it wasn't important to him. In fact, it was very important to him as you read the story. He didn't miss it because he was just too busy to notice. He missed it because he was so occupied with protecting his kingdom that he wasn't going to let anything interfere with that. He was too busy guarding his status quo, to his business, his bank account, his corner office, etc. He didn't have time, or better said, he wasn't willing to take the time, wasn't willing to allow anything to interrupt his career, his position, his plans. He was the original Scrooge of Christmas. Again, ask ourselves the question. Some who miss the celebration every year because they simply don't have time for the celebration. Their value system, their priorities don't include the baby. You've heard it said, I've heard it said as well, that there's never been a person at the end of life, in those final moments, those final stages of life, that said, man, I wish I had more money. Wow, I wish I had spent more time at the office. I wish I had a nicer house. I wish I had a bigger bank account. I wish I had a larger retirement savings. There's never been a person at the end of life that cares diddly squat about those things. But there have been plenty of folks who have said things like, I wish I had been a better husband, better wife. Wish I'd spent more time with my family. I wish I wasn't so alone. And sadly, some people will come to the very end and they're going to say, Jesus, I wish I had accepted your offer. I wish I hadn't missed you. I wish I knew you. I wish you were my Savior. Matthew goes on. In verse 4, we read, when he, talking about Herod again, had called together all the people's chief priests, the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was that was to be born. This question struck me, and I think maybe for the first time, I'd never asked the question before, but here's the question. Why does Herod have to ask? Why doesn't he know? Why has this caught him by surprise in that town? In fact, he calls them together when the Magi come and say, talk about this king. He calls together the religious leaders, the priests, and he says, what is this information? Why does he have to ask? Why does he have to ask? Why doesn't he already know? There are religious leaders, there's priests, there's pastors, there's Bible teachers. It's their job. It's their job to make sure. It's the reason they're in the position they're in, is to make sure that people don't miss Jesus. And if you remember from last week, this same verse that we quoted a moment ago about said Herod was disturbed. It goes on and says, and all of Jerusalem was disturbed. All the people were disturbed. They're agitated by this information. They're wondering what's going on. Why are they wondering what's going on? Why are they surprised? Why? The Magi had traveled hundreds of miles because they know about the baby. They heard about the baby over in an eastern country by things that were passed down them for them. Information maybe from Daniel, as Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were there. Maybe that information was given, but they've traveled hundreds of miles because they know there's something important happened. They know about the baby. They know something very special is taking place. So why don't the folks that live just a few miles away from Bethlehem, why aren't they excited? Why aren't they watching, waiting, planning a party to celebrate? The baby has arrived. The king is here. The Savior is born. Well, certainly, and partly, if not mostly, because the priests, the teachers, the pastors, the very ones who should have been leading the procession, were absent and unaccounted for. That may not mean much to you, but it certainly zeroes in on my heart. And so let me pause right now and make sure everyone here understands. Why did Christmas happen? Christmas took place, that baby was born because something happened way back in the beginning of this world. Sin entered the picture of humanity. And ever since that happened, sin has been causing destruction, tearing apart families, breaking up lives, causing regrets, heartache, loss, death. It's been having that impact, and the biggest, maybe not the one we always recognize the most, but the biggest impact it had in each of our lives is it destroyed our relationship with the God who loved us and created us. But that God loved us so much that he stepped into our world, knowing that the only way for sin to be rectified was for someone to pay the payment of sin, which is death. Someone had to die to pay for our sin. Either we had to die ourselves for our own sin, be separated from God for eternity, or someone had to step in our place. And God came into earth, took on human form, went to the cross and died in my place so that God could offer me and offer you a gift. A gift that costs you nothing but cost God his life. Cost his son death on the cross. We give gifts because we're remembering, we're honoring that gift. But here's the question I got to ask you this morning. Have you accepted the gift? In a few days, we're going to pass around a lot of gifts. I doubt, maybe, but I doubt that any of you are going to say, no thanks, I've got enough, my pile is big enough now, you know, can't fit another one in. Now, gifts have to be, a decision is made every time a gift is offered. We decide thank you or no thanks. Not many of us say no thanks. God's offering a gift. Everyone in this room may have accepted that gift, but I want to make sure you hear it again this morning. God is offering you a gift. He's telling you, if you will let me, I would like to forgive all the ramifications, the eternal ramifications of your sin. I would like to adopt you into my family. I would like to take you someday home to be with me. This is all a gift. Would you accept my gift? You have a decision to make. You either say, thank you, God, I accept the gift. And if you do, in that moment you become his child. In that moment you have an eternity laid out for you that's going to be in his presence in a place where there is none of the ramifications of sin. There is no hurt. There is no pain. There is no suffering. There are no tears. There is no loss. That's what God wants for you. That's his plan, his heart's desire for you and me. If we'll just accept the gift. And just as just to bring this home, I don't care if you've gone to church every Sunday since the day you were born. That doesn't do it. I don't care if you got a drawer full of Sunday school pins. I don't care if you've read that Bible 20 times in your life. You may know a lot, but that doesn't do it. If you have not, I don't care if you stand behind a pulpit and preach every Sunday. If you have not accepted the gift, you've missed the reason for the season. Let's look at one more person this morning before we close. This is one who did not miss it. Her name's Mary. I think you've heard of her before. And you might respond, well, duh, she's not going to miss baby Jesus. She can't see her feet now because of baby Jesus. She can't get out of the chair without help because of baby Jesus. She is having a hard time sleeping at night because of baby Jesus. She has discovered a waddle in her step because of baby Jesus. Clothes don't fit because of babies. Of course, she's not going to forget baby Jesus. But back in Luke chapter 2, we read this. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Now here's what I want you to note. This is early on. There's no baby in her womb at this point. The angel says you will be with child. Not you are with child. This is before that. There's no waddling at this point. There's no swelled ankles or back pain. In fact, to be frank, she hasn't even been with a man. And nor would she be until after the birth of Jesus. But she knew. She was not going to miss the significance of the baby. In fact, when the time came, she wouldn't pick the name. She'd already been given the name. The name was Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. Jesus, the Son of the Most High. Even a few months after this, by now she's a few months pregnant, a few months after the conversation with the angel. You know, she could have at this point, because she may not even be showing yet. So she could at this point be starting to question, did it really happen? Did I really have the conversation? Was it maybe just a dream? It would have been easy to doubt at that point. But just a few months later, Mary says this, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Bless his holy name." She hadn't forgotten. She wasn't doubting. She wasn't about to miss the baby. I'm really glad I'm preaching this message today. We still have a few days. A few days to make sure, as we evaluate our schedules and the things we're planning to do this week, the activities, whatever it is, a few days to stop and pause for a moment and say, wait a minute, in the middle of all this, God, I don't want to miss the baby. Still a few moments, a few days to prepare, to be ready to celebrate the baby. In the middle of the pretty wrapping paper, don't miss it. In the middle of the busyness of the parties and family gatherings, don't miss it. In the middle of the celebration, the giving and receiving of gifts, make sure we don't miss the baby. In the middle of the religious trappings and the manger scenes, don't miss baby Jesus. He came here just for you. You can put your name in that sentence. He came here just for you. So be ready for him. Receive him if you have not yet. Make the Christmas story your story. Let's pray. Father, thanks. Admittedly, it is easy to be caught up in the stuff and miss what really matters. And the stuff is all surrounding celebration, and there's such an important, we as of all, those we who are your children, we recognize there's a huge reason to be celebrating. And in fact, there is some excitement, even in the fact that people that don't know you are still celebrating your birth, even if they don't realize it. But Lord, especially as your children, we want to make sure that all that other stuff doesn't detract us from you, from the reason for the season, from the baby. So help us, Lord, as we move into these final few days before the celebration occurs, to just sense your love, to sense your desire for us to be a part of your family if we don't know you already, to remember the reason for the celebration. Keep us on track with this, Lord. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. And my Christmas present to you is, we are 8 minutes early and you are dismissed.